Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday, November 5th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Got a few things to talk about today. Definitely a couple of fight announcements, a few pieces of news, but I'm going to save the UFC Moscow preview for when Cole Shelton joins me at 11 a.m. Eastern today. So definitely tune in for that second podcast, but I'll be doing all the news and stuff right now. So let's get right into it. First things first. Probably the biggest news of the day yesterday. Walt Harris obviously had to pull out recently against his fight against Alistair Overeem at UFC Washington, D.C. I already talked about that. Obviously, Walt's going through a tough time right now with his daughter missing. So, prayers to Walt and his family. Hopefully, they do find his daughter. Obviously, it'd be very hard for him to fight and focus to train for someone like Alistair Overeem. So, I think he made the right decision pulling out of the fight. Of course, that means there was an empty spot for the UFC Washington, D.C. main event across the cage from Alistair Overeem. And Jairzinho Rozenstruik actually threw his name into the hat the other day during the UFC 244 post-fight scrums with the media. Rozenstruik told the media that he'd like to get the phone call from the UFC to fight Alistair Overeem, and he gets his wish. So Jairzinho Rozenstruik is going to fight Alistair Overeem in the main event of UFC Washington, D.C. I love this matchup. It's a good fight, great fight, makes a lot of sense. Jairzinho Rozenstruik's been very impressive in the UFC. They call him Biggie Boy. He's a big dude. He is from Suriname, the first and only fighter in the UFC from Suriname, and he's looked great in the UFC. Overall, in the MMA, actually, he's also really good. 9-0, 8 knockouts. He had that one split decision in Ryzen where he was accused of greasing, but other than that, he's looked amazing. He's looked great in the UFC. 3 straight knockout wins. Darnell Jr. all beating his debut in the second round. 9-second win over Alan Crowder back in June, and then the knockout win over Andrei Arlovski. So he's kept busy this year, and he's looked really good. It's actually crazy because he's been fighting as a pro since 2012, but he only has 9 fights because he took 5 years off between 2012 and 2017. He was focusing on kickboxing in those years, and he has a lot of kickboxing experience as well. 76 wins, 8 losses, 1 draw in kickboxing. So this guy has been around for a long time, and then he takes on Overeem, another veteran of the sport, veteran of combat sports. Overeem, great fighter. No doubt about it. 45-17 and 1 no contest in his career. He's actually coming off 2 straight knockout wins over Alexei Oleinik and Sergey Pavlovich. He's looked really good lately, but you can't ignore the 13 knockout losses he's had in his career. And that scares the hell out of me going up against a guy like Rozenstruik, who's younger, 8 years younger, over his 39. He's turning 40 next year. So he's getting up there in age now. And again, the 13 knockout losses scares the hell out of me, but there's no doubt he has the experience advantage in MMA. He has the ground game advantage if the fight goes to the ground. And he still has devastating knockout power too. You can't forget what he just did to Oleinik on the feet. In the Pavlovich fight, he looked incredible, not finishing him on the ground. I mean, Pavlovich looks like a really good prospect right now. So you can't count out Overeem this fight, but I do kind of think that Rozenstruik might be favored here just because he's so hot right now. And his 2019 has looked amazing. 3 straight wins in this year alone. So I feel like this guy probably favored because MMA is such a what have you done for me lately sport. And people are kind of just forgetting what Overeem actually did lately. They're just remembering all his knockout losses, like the loss to Blades and Nagano, Stipe. I mean, this guy's been knocked out many, many times. So I feel like Rozenstruik might be favored a little bit, but I just don't think you completely count Alistair Overeem in this fight. I do think it's a pretty close matchup. It's pretty much whoever lands first wins. I'm kind of leaning towards Rozenstruik just because of the speed, and I think he does have probably a better chance at this point too. So should be interesting, but we haven't seen this guy's ground game tested. And if Overeem can go for a takedown, get it, and get the fight to the mat, he actually might be able to finish Rozenstruik via submission or via ground and pound. So either way, I'm very excited for this fight. I think it's a great matchup. Again, it's too bad Walt Harris can't fight Overeem. He deserved that matchup. He's worked really hard to get a big fight like that. But it is what it is, you know. So it happens, and Rozenstruik is the one who takes advantage of the situation. Couple other things here. Stephen Thompson also spoke to the media, and he wants to fight either Jorge Masvidal again or Nate Diaz. He's not really that interested in Damian Maia. He said Damian Maia is an extremely dangerous guy, and he respects the hell out of him, but he wants to move up the ladder, and you can't really blame him. Damian Maia actually is ranked below Stephen Thompson right now. I think Maia is probably ranked a little bit too low in that division. He's such a good fighter, and he's only lost to elite guys, really. So Maia is probably ranked a little bit too low. He also has that win over Masvidal from, like, what, 2 years ago, right? So I think people are – they kind of sleep on Maia a little bit in the rankings. But, yeah, I don't blame Thompson for saying he wants the rematch with Masvidal. I don't think he's going to get it, obviously. I think Masvidal gets the title shot. But Thompson beat him 2 years ago, and it was a pretty clean win. If they fight again, Masvidal is going to be obviously more aggressive, and I think you'd have to favor Masvidal this time around. But Thompson's obviously a tremendous striker. He's so much fun to watch too when he's on. He looked incredible at UFC 244 when he fought Vicente Luque, who I think is a really good prospect in that division. But Nate Diaz is also interesting. Obviously, Nate's going to take some time off to get his eye fixed up. I don't know if Thompson's like a big enough name for Nate to fight. I still feel like Nate's going to be gunning for one of those like McGregor type of super fights, but stylistically, Thompson versus Nate Diaz would be a lot of fun. I'd watch that fight. So we'll see who Stephen Thompson gets next. He's highly ranked in the division, coming off a fight of the night win, so he's in a good shape right now, and we'll see what happens there. Speaking of UFC 244, the doctor in the main event, man, this is pretty sad stuff. He's received like death threats and people calling his office and saying they're going to like hurt him and stuff. That's just terrible. I know no one listening to this podcast is one of those people that did that. I just don't know what gets into people's minds where they're like, they're so crazy about this kind of stuff. Listen, the stoppage is not my favorite stoppage in the world. I don't love it. I understand why he did it. I still don't love it. But at the same time, giving this guy death threats is just sickening. So I don't think anyone listening to the show did any of that stuff. So I'm not even sure who's the ones doing it. But if you know anyone who has, that's sickening. And you know, listen, it's too bad the way the fight ended. No one wants to see a fight end by doctor stoppage, but death threats, calling the guy's office, telling they're going to hurt the guy, that's terrible. Also at UFC 244, this was kind of interesting. I found Johnny Walker was really pissed off at Dan Hardy. Dan Hardy went on his Open Mat podcast and said that Johnny Walker is backstage telling Corey, "Oh, Corey, I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to knock you out." And Johnny Walker saw the clip. He posted on his Instagram, "Listen, Dan Hardy, I never said this. Like, I don't know where you got your information from." Dan Hardy responded to him saying, "Hey, you know, I saw you taunting Corey in the cage, so I assume that when I heard this, it was true. If I'm wrong, you know, I'll be the first to apologize," kind of thing. But he really should have never went public with this if he wasn't there and couldn't verify for himself, because Corey Anderson has now come to the defense of Johnny Walker and said this was not true and this never happened. He said a fan was the one saying it, not Johnny Walker. So to me, this makes Dan Hardy look really bad. I mean, the guy is obviously he was a good fighter, Dan Hardy, and I think he's doing a good job as a commentator. I wouldn't say a great job. He's not my favorite commentator. I think guys like Daniel Cormier and Paul Felder are a step above Dan Hardy, but he's still doing a decent job. But this is not cool. Like, he basically smeared this guy's name for no reason, and I think he really deserves a public apology, Johnny Walker does. Johnny's a great guy. I met Johnny in Brazil. Awesome guy. I personally didn't believe it when I heard this either. He's just not that kind of person. Yes, he's kind of a goof, and he does like to play around and mess around. I think he learned his lesson from this fight, because I think he messed around too much and he got knocked out. But I never once thought that Johnny was taunting Corey Anderson backstage before the fight. Just didn't seem like his character. And for Dan Hardy to kind of say that about him and then it not being true, I think Johnny deserves a public apology from Dan. Hopefully he gets it. Maybe Dan does give him a public apology. But, you know, Dan's he's a branch of the UFC now, right? And he's a branch of the media now. So he's got to get his facts right. And in this case, his facts were wrong. Listen, we're all going to get stories wrong. We're all going to say wrong things at points, but you got to be willing to go and apologize and say that, you know, what you said was wrong. What else here? Kevin Lee, he said the other day he wants to fight Islam Makhachev. Now he's changing his tune. Kevin Lee says now that he wants to fight Conor McGregor or the winner of Tony Ferguson or Khabib Nurmagomedov next, which I find kind of interesting. I feel like the Makhachev fight's a lot more like gettable at this point, because Makhachev needs an opponent. Kevin Lee's coming off a great win. Makhachev's on a nice win streak. But at the same time, it was like 48 hours for Kevin Lee to turn back into that not-so-humble guy, which I don't mind. I mean, Kevin Lee's great, but yeah, I think Conor McGregor, that'd be a fun fight. I just don't think Conor's taking that fight. Even Kevin said that in the interview with TMZ. He's like, Conor won't take this fight. UFC won't give it to him. They want to fight someone coming off loss like Cerrone, which I think is going to happen. I just feel like the McGregor-Cerrone fight makes so much sense unless they want to do Nate Diaz, but I don't think Nate's going to be ready for January. But Kevin also said he wants the winner of Tony and Khabib. He also said that he probably needs one or two more wins before he gets that title shot, which obviously I think he does at this point. There's guys ahead of him. He also mentioned Anthony Pettis as a potential opponent. And he also mentioned Justin Gaethje as a potential opponent. But it looks like he's shooting for the stars. You can't blame him. But, you know, I feel like the Makhachev fight makes a lot more sense for Kevin Lee in his next matchup. So I do believe that the UFC probably gets that fight booked. But at the same time, you can't blame Kevin for, you know, shooting for the top guys. I just don't see it happening. He also believes that he probably wins a rematch with Tony Ferguson, which I'm not so sure about, but we'll see what happens if they end up fighting again. All right, a couple of fight announcements here. There are some good fights coming up, guys. UFC 245 continues to get great fights here. This is a fun fight. Ian Heinisch takes on Omari Akhmedov, two of the guys in the kind of bottom half of the top 15. Ian Heinisch, he is coming off a loss to Derek Brunson by decision, but before that had won five straight fights, including back-to-back decision wins over Cesar Ferreira and Antonio Carlos Jr. in the UFC. Overall, very good fighter, very good cardio, good wrestling, decent striking, just overall a well-rounded guy. Takes on Omari Akhmedov here, 19-4-1 record. He is actually on a 5-8 unbeaten streak at this moment, so he's looked really good lately. Overall in the UFC, he is, 7-3-1 no contest. So he has a nice record in the UFC as well. He is ranked in the top 15 at 185, but in the bottom half. But the thing is, look at the guys he's beaten in the last two fights. Zach Cummings, Tim Boach. He did have the draw with Vettori. He did beat Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. So he has some solid wins, but at the same time, you know, this is a guy that fades badly in the third round. He got knocked out by Sergio Arias and Lizu Zaleski de Santos in the third round. So I don't completely trust his chin. I don't completely trust his cardio. And I do believe if he fights Heinisch in this fight and doesn't get it out in the first round, he probably gets finished late. So I would lean towards Heinisch just based on the cardio. I think that's his biggest edge in this fight, but we'll see what happens. Also, UFC 245, I like this fight a lot. Chase the Dream Hooper takes on Chase the Teenage Dream Hooper. Excuse me. He's a young guy. He's only 20 years old. Well, he's 20 years old now. He can't be the Teenage Dream anymore. He's the Chase the 20-year-old Dream. Anyways, he's a solid prospect, man. 8-0-1. He takes on Daniel Tamer here. Daniel Tamer struggled in the UFC, 7-3 record. He is just 1-3 in the UFC. He's coming off a win over Sung Bin Jo. Wasn't a great fight. Did get the win. Before that, lost three straight to Chris Fiscal, Julio Arce, and Danny Henry. So I haven't been too impressed with him. His brother, David, I think is a much better fighter. I think Chase Hooper wins this fight. Chase has looked really good. He was a contender series guy. They signed him to a developmental deal. And since then, he's 2-0-1 draw. So he's looked good lately, coming off a nice win over Luis Gomez and Titan FC by rear naked choke. And I do think this kid is the real deal. I think he does win this fight. UFC Busan gets two more fights. Alatang Healy against Ryan Benoit. That's a fun fight. I like this matchup. Let's pull it. Alatang is actually coming off a really good win in his debut, 13-7-1. He beat Dana Batrigal at UFC, the China card, and he actually won fight night. So it was a nice performance by him in his debut. He's won three straight fights. Takes on Ryan Benoit here. He is 10-5 in his career. He's coming off a win over Ashkan Mokhtarian by head kick. That was in 2017, though, so he has not fought in a long time. The momentum's kind of gone now, I think, for Benoit, but he does have a couple of good wins in his career. He did beat Sergio Perez by knockout. He has a couple of other wins by knockout. So this guy has power for this division. It's a good fight. I like the matchup. I think you got to lean towards Alatang at this point just because he's been fighting more often, but definitely an interesting fight. And the other matchup here at UFC Busan, I like this fight a lot. Haoni Barcelos takes on Saeed Nurmagomedov. This is a great fight. Love this matchup. Glad they got it in before the end of the year. Barcelos is a very good fighter, very dangerous guy, 14-1. He is 34, so he's a bit older, but he's looked good. He's on a 7-fight win streak. He just beat Carlos Rochan in Brazil. I was at that card. He absolutely smashed that guy. He also beat Kurt Hollebaugh and Chris Gutierrez by finish in the UFC. So he's on a nice little finish streak here. And he takes on Saeed Nurmagomedov, who's also looked good, 13-1, coming off a knockout win over Ricardo Ramos. Also beat Justin Scoggins in the UFC. This guy's a very dangerous fighter. This is an interesting fight. This one can go either way. Nurmagomedov's 27. He's a little bit younger. He's fighting closer to home, being it's in South Korea. I don't know. It's a tough one to call. I think Barcelos is the better fighter, but the fact he's 7 years older is kind of scary. I really have no idea who wins this fight. Hopefully it happens. It was actually supposed to happen in Brazil. Nurmagomedov pulled out, so that's getting rebooked. I don't know. I really don't know who's going to win this fight. I guess I lean slightly towards Barcelos just because he's fought a little bit more lately, but it's a tough one to call. All right, that's a reader questions here from Kevin Scott. Kevin, thanks for your questions, man. And again, if anyone wants to send questions in, send them to me on my email, or you can send them on Twitter. I think Twitter works really well, but if you don't want to do Twitter, that's cool. Do email adam_martin13@hotmail.com. Feel free to send an email anytime you guys want some questions answered. I'm happy to answer the questions that you have for me. All right, Kevin Scott. Hey, Adam, I rewatched UFC 244 tonight. Did you notice Kevin Lee seemed to have another nasty staph infection on his chest for this fight? Center of his chest, up high near his neck. If you didn't see, try to find a pick when he was being announced. We need DC there to call it out like he did for his Fergus fight. I did notice it. It was pretty nasty. I saw someone say it might be an ingrown hair. I'm not 100% buying that. It could have been staff. I'm not 100% sure. Clearly, it didn't affect his performance. But yeah, I mean, listen, he wouldn't be the first guy who stepped in the octagon with staph infection, but it is kind of nasty. Hopefully, the commission did see it at least. because man, it was pretty noticeable on TV. So I'm assuming they did see it. It must have not been what we thought it was, but yeah, I did notice it. It was gross. Hopefully we can get that taken care of, because you don't want to see someone get sick in the octagon. Guys get staff all the time in training, though. It's not nice, but it's part of the sport, unfortunately. It's just something you don't want to see during an actual fight. All right, when is the UFC going to announce anything for 2020? I was sure they would have announced at least the Q1 schedule during T44, but nothing. They're cutting it pretty close, no? I agree, Kevin. I thought they would have announced it too. I was expecting them to actually announce it during that Friday press conference. They did not announce it, though. So probably at UFC 245 is my guess, next month in Vegas. It is cutting it close. They'll probably have something for the UFC Conor McGregor card very soon. That card's in January. They got to start announcing 2020 dates. They got to put those tickets on sale soon. So I think we'll probably hear something about that card pretty soon. But as far as like the rest of the Q1 schedule, I would guess during UFC 245. We have to keep in mind this month actually has three cards. UFC 244, which happened this weekend, UFC Moscow, and then next weekend, UFC Sao Paulo. That's it. There's a two-week break at the end of the month. So I feel like during that break, they'll probably get everything sorted out. UFC probably needs a break. They had a crazy schedule this year, but I would assume during UFC 245, maybe even UFC Washington, D.C. will announce the Q1 schedule. And his last question, Dana said the other day they're going to France in 2020 and wants to see Francis headline the card. I can't imagine that would be a title fight. So who would you like to see him face? Yeah, I agree. It probably won't be a title fight. That is interesting. They're holding Francis off for that card. To be fair, though, they did call him for that fight against Volkov. He just didn't want to take it on 2 weeks' notice. He wanted that fight to be moved to UFC 245, which I can't blame him for. Looking at the rankings now, I mean, it's tough. It's a tough spot for Francis because he really should be fighting for the title next against Stipe in a rematch, but Cormier is going to get that fight, and Cormier deserves that fight. So you look at who's underneath him, Curtis Blaydes, he's already knocked him out twice. JDS, he's knocked him out. Derek Lewis, he lost to him last year. It was a terrible fight, though. I don't know if anyone wants to see that one again, but, you know, at this point, you could possibly do a rematch between Ngannou and Lewis, and Lewis has looked better physically lately, so maybe that'd be a good fight. Probably someone gets KO'd this time, I would hope. Overeem, he's already knocked him out. Volkov, I mean, maybe if Volkov wins against Greg Hardy, you could do that fight, I guess. But he's kind of – you're kind of getting down a little bit too low in the division now. You're at 7. Ivanov's 8. That fight doesn't make sense. You got guys like Abdurahimov, Harris. I don't think any of those guys make sense. So I think Ngannou's kind of got slim pickings at this point. I think probably the Derek Lewis fight of the potential opponents makes the most sense. It's not the sexiest fight in the world. We saw the first fight. It was a terrible matchup, but – maybe the rematch will be better. I think we expected a really good fight between those two. It didn't turn out to be very good. The only other thing is maybe a guy that's moving up from light heavyweight. Like, Ilir Latifi's moving up at some point. He says even that fight doesn't make too much sense. So, yeah, I think, unfortunately for Ngannou, he's in a tough spot in the division right now. So, yeah, just looking at it, Lewis probably makes the most sense out of anyone, or Volkov if he wins this weekend. Otherwise, you're fighting rematches that you've already beat these guys. The only other thing would be if he just gets a title shot against Stipe and DC needs more time. So that's about it. All right. Thanks again, guys, for tuning in to today's podcast. I'll be back at 11 a.m. Eastern with Cole Sheldon breaking down UFC Moscow. Looking forward to talking about that card. Once again, guys, thanks for tuning in. You guys can check me out on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is always available at MMAoddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe. Also check the podcast out at Spotify, SoundCloud, and Apple Podcasts. It's on iTunes now. I appreciate if you guys subscribe there, leave a review. That'd be cool too. Also, check me out at bjpenn.com, MMARaceOnNet. I'll be back at 11 a.m. with Cole Sheldon breaking down UFC Moscow. Looking forward to talking about that card. A lot of good fights. Have a good one, guys. Thanks again for tuning in.